The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2023, Charting the Course, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join. or by making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, please visit libraplanet.org/conference.
We're actually starting now.
Okay,
I'm going to take this down. So
Then I welcome you officially now. And the title that we have now is Kids Need to Experience Software Freedom. So let's see the first-hand experience here. Thank you.
Okay, we're live. So, okay, well, hello, everyone.
Hi.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Rowan.
And we're going to talk about teaching kids about software freedom. So just to give you a quick background, this talk pushed me into taking tons of stuff that I was thinking about and working on with Rowan and put it into an accessible format in which I realized there is years of work I could continue doing exploring it. And you can see what is currently put together at codeberg.org/flow, F-L-O, that's free, Libre, open, dash, conscience, flow conscience slash flow kids. And it's got a lot of work in progress, but most of what we're talking about today is at least up there and more to do in the future. Please come and help if you have ideas. I am the co-founder of snowdrift.coop. That's my main project I've been involved in the software freedom space, although I do several other things. And I'm a music teacher and my website is wolftune.com. You can see me at Mastodon at wolftune@social.coop or email aaron@wolftune.com. Rowan doesn't have an email yet, but we're just getting in there. That's something that's going to happen because not starting with internet connection. We're going to jump in and talk about how I've been introducing him to software freedom and what ideas we have for everybody else. So having said that, we're going to talk about the idea that the first thing that people need to know is I don't think we should be discussing computers as computers in and of themselves. That's not really the point. My goal isn't just to have people learn about programming. The point is to learn about ethics and society and software freedom and creativity and understand the world that we live in. So that's our first priority while we go through any of this. These are obviously ideas that aren't specific to kids. We're just focusing on how you would introduce them to kids. And eventually I'd like kids to be teaching each other. Rowan, you can teach your friends. We also need to talk eventually about how it is that you could explain to your school or other people about what's going on when you see proprietary software in the world, non-free software. So let's get into it. Rowan, please. Mm-hmm. I know you don't see the other people because you're not in the room, but there's a whole bunch of people out there in the world watching us. So we need to be thinking that in mind. Okay? I know it's funny, but this is another point here. I've invited Rowan to join me. And my lesson plans and ideas don't go perfectly the way I would want them to go because I have a real person and everybody else has real people and we deal with their actual quirks. And that's actually what makes it wonderful in a lot of ways. So we're going to talk about how it is to get set up a computer for kids. And one of the first things is computers are super engaging and addictive. And we all know that even when we understand it, it still happens.
Even if it's free software.
That's right. And so one of the main things is to be aware of that and use computers consciously. So one of the things that we suggest is to make computers less engaging. It's not to get the fanciest, most engaging, most big spectacle stuff. I know people like the humane tech folks talk about having, you know, devices on grayscale and how lots of other things that are purposefully engaging and addictive are unhealthy, and we don't want that. Now, groups like Humane Tech and Fair Play, which is this great organization, used to be called Campaign for Commercial-Free Childhood, they are great, but they don't get software freedom. And so we need to take their ideas and combine them with the ideas of software freedom. And
yes.
Anyway, I'm going to mention a quick mention about how addictive computers are. When Rowan was about 2 or 3, I was one-year-old, I didn't want him to get super sucked into screens. So one of the things we did is we were reading books, and I looked up sounds for animals. And when he was interested in some animal in a book, we would look up sounds. And then when he asked about tapir sounds, Rowan, just a second. Hey, Rowan, when you're presenting, don't touch your face, please. You got to sit up tall. Sit up tall. This is another topic, good posture. So we have an issue about, we set up a sit-stand desk for him with his computer. This is extra distracting when there's kids around. You got to go with the flow. But the story is, I could only find a video for tapir sounds, and he saw it even though I tried to hide it from him. And then for weeks, he just kept asking for tapir sounds because he knew he got to see a video, and videos are super engaging. And even now when he's listening to music, he tends to look at the screen for no reason. So it's important to have a way for the screen to turn off when you're listening to things. But the main tool that I'm using myself now, and we all use, is Workrave, which I don't have set up for you to see. But Workrave is a break program. It times things, and you can set up how much time between micro breaks and between rest breaks, and set a daily limit. And we talked about how I do not have control enough of computers to force this stuff. It's not about control, it's about trust. So we understand about how the breaks work, and we make a point of looking away from the screen and exercising.
Like the control key?
Not that type of control. But the point is, it's a choice for you to go along with these things because we understand that they're healthy, right? Okay, so I have all these notes ready so you can look them up later. But then the thing that we did after setting up basic ideas was to set up a terminal so that he could start typing. And the first thing that we did was just, if you just hit cat, then you can just type stuff and it doesn't matter because nothing's going to go wrong. It's just typing. And
you can even type sudo.
You could type sudo here and it wouldn't even do anything. That's right. And he... He started typing out numbers, just counting and saying, oh my gosh, I'm counting all the way to 50. And then he got into typing his name. And then at one point he decided it would be funny because I had it set up something like this. And he was like, oh look, I can go like this. And he figured out how to type the command prompt. So just learning how to type. Okay. After that, we go into terminal navigation, basically learning to hit up, to get back to old commands, or to use tab completion. Those are key to be able to understand the terminal and make sense of things. And then we worked into learning some basic commands, and we started with something like cow say. And you can say cow say hello, and boom! Now it's a cow saying hello.
If you would like to learn about cow speak.
We'll get to that. So this is now old stuff for him, but we're teaching everybody from the beginning. And so once you know some simple programs like that, another fun one.
eSpeak.
Is eSpeak. eSpeak.
Hello.
And then.
How did you do that without quotes?
Oh, you're right. eSpeak needs quotes, but it needs quotes if you use more than one word. So you can try things and you get errors. Hello, Libre Planet. And then what happens?
Hello.
We didn't hear the Libre Planet part.
Because we didn't have quotes.
Right. So you have to put the quotes around it. And we learn
the Libre Planet.
And we say, that was too fast. So you can learn about options and say, let's say it's slower.
Hello, Libre Planet.
Do it one.
One?
Hello, Libre Planet.
It doesn't seem to go all the way to one. But you liked trying crazy things like going to 1500. All right.
Did that make you funny?
Yes, okay. funny sound.
I'm asking them.
I'm sure they thought it was funny enough. I wish we were in the room with everybody.
Yeah.
So once we've learned about some of those, he learned some funny things that surprised him. Like what happened if he wrote cow speak Sue with a bunch of exclamation marks, because he thought that was going to be a funny thing that he likes to say. And
Sue speak hello Libra Planet S1500.
Oh, speak hello. I did cow speak. I meant to do cow say. That's funny. But it did all this extra junk because those were actually the special command for bang bang, which means repeat the past thing. And so it was putting all of the past last command into the cow thing. Okay, so we learn all these things by just trying stuff. And then as long as he has somebody with him to sort of figure out what's going on, sometimes it even surprised me, and I had no reason to expect that would happen. And we had to figure it out. But we're figuring it out together. Now we know. And so we tried BC, which is the basic calculator. And he can do simple math, 5 plus 4, whatever else. And we can do something like, we can actually do variables here. X equals 5, 5 plus X. And so he could actually spend a long time with this because he's just in first grade learning math stuff. And now you've got a calculator to play with. But he actually even was interested enough that before I showed him this, he was typing in cow say and having cow say 3 plus 4 is 7, equals 7. And just he was like, look, it did math. So from there, we could talk about functions even. And that's where we created the cow speak function, which looks like this. So we can say, whoops, cow speak function is cow say with doing whatever it's going to do, and then e-speak doing whatever it's going to do with quotes, which you need for e-speak. And that's how you can have cow speak now exist. And then you've made our first command where we invented a command that didn't exist before.
Yeah, do quotes and then globin tuples.
Globin. What?
Globin tuples fluffle chunks.
Chunks? Whatever, something like that?
Globin tuples, yeah. FLFLCHRKNS.
Oh, I just spelled it out, the last one, because it didn't have enough vowels. Yeah. So yeah, we could just do silly things and it's fun and the computer's doing crazy stuff. And so combine all of this and we can make other variations. One of the ones we did first was you can change cow say to have different eyes. So you could do something like this. Whatever. Now the eyes change.
like
it looks all different. Yeah, ooh, looking to the side. And so you can actually do cow say with the file, the F command, and then you see, oh, look at all these things it can do. How about a fox? Then it can say other things. Now it's a fox saying stuff.
Oh, that's too big.
Too big. Well, so we learned how to use a text editor, and we open up Nano, and you can make stuff here, but you can also use funny symbols and whatever. So what we're going to do here is... wait just a moment, Nano. Here's your file that you made. I just opened up Nano and let you draw. And so
I make a square around it?
Not right now, but we can do that later. So we had to look at the other existing cow files to see how they worked. And once we could look at those source files, then we learned that there is such a thing as a source file, what makes the cow say pictures. And we had to copy them to make
our... When I made Hado.cow, I did not know about the compose key. So that's the reason why there's not a line down the whole leg, because I didn't know how to put them together.
Well, I'm not sure if the compose key would do that. But yeah, we learned about the compose key and how to make different symbols, because those were fun. But he learned about on this side, why has it got two lines like that?
So that it won't take the backslash as a special symbol.
Right,
the backslash is only for...
So if we use your file and then say something, right? Yay for free software. And then we get your file and it doesn't have that. The backslashes were for making the other backslashes get used as regular symbols.
Yeah.
So you could do a whole bunch of this. So you're basically doing some art in the terminal. And then eventually we worked on what can become a cow math program And it looks like this. This is the very beginnings of it. So in this case, we've got our cow speak function. Now that was added later, because first we just did cow say and e-speak together, just doing the same thing. But we used random and variables so that we could have it ask us a math question and an answer. And then this is not the way I would have had it done, but Rowan wrote that if you get it wrong, it says, I am going to tear you limb from limb. Because we were watching Marx Brothers on archive.org, and that was a line from Duck Soup.
You should watch it sometime. It's really funny. Especially watch Duck Soup. It's really funny. That's the funniest one that I've seen of them.
And then we've got, if you get it right, he did Tengo Razón, and we learned how to write things in with the upside-down exclamation mark, because he's in a Spanish bilingual school. Of course, we realize now that you should have made it Tienes Razón, because it's the computer saying it to us, not us saying it for ourselves. And we had to do this separately because we haven't figured out how to put into a function where you can also tell it something about what voice to use.
Well, I'm saying like we are the cow.
Well, let's run the program, okay?
Okay.
Bash. So bash.
What
cow
is
man.
4 plus 10?
What is 4 plus 10?
14. And watch what happens.
Tengo razón.
Do it again.
What is 10 plus 3?
Write 10 plus 3 and it'll actually say, I'm going to tear you
limb. I'm going to tear you limb from limb.
Ah!
And now we have to, it's answer asking us again. It's still asking for the right answer. So we can still answer now. We need to update it so that it tells us, please try again. And everybody could make their own version of this. And of course, you could go into adding besides this, we do multiplication and subtraction and even algebra. And it could do a zillion things. And we could make it keep track of how many right answers you got. We could make a complete cow math program that does all levels of. It's like a complete cow math game.
And it also, maybe it could even do a backflip.
Maybe if we used multiple different characters, and then we'd have that. There's who knows, because you can program a lot of things. We could use different pictures. We could have the cow have different eyes when you get it right or wrong. And so after this type of thing is done, we have the idea we have a file. And now we can go ahead and tell people that they could program their own version of this, and different kids could share their work, and they could copy lines from each other's programs or see how they each did it.
If you want to use the software, change it and share it. Do whatever you want to with it.
Well, so,
or else.
So what are the freedoms we need then?
The freedom is that you can change.
You can use it however you like.
Share and use.
Yeah, and study.
And study.
Yep. And so we need all of those freedoms in order to build the software and have control over our computers. And so all along, we can explain that this is what's going on when you have all these other fancy programs in the world. They all have commands and programs like this in the background.
Yeah.
And so we should try checking out the source code to other programs. Maybe sometime we can look at the source code to cow say the original one.
Sure.
And then we could even see how that works and whether we can change it. And I know that people have implemented cow say in bunches of different programming languages. So we could learn about different programming languages by seeing how each of them does cow say.
Try making the cow do a backflip.
You're going to have to keep working hard before you can figure out how to do that. I don't know how to help you with that, but we can get there. I'm sure it's possible. And of course, if we're just sticking with eternal, there are other things we could do. So I'm just going to mention that there are games that exist that are all terminal games. There's BSD games, and there's something called NBSD games, which I think is actually even better in some ways. And there's stuff like even Tetris in the terminal. And so besides playing, we could explore how this program is made. And we could look at the source code, or we could learn how to make our own version of games in the terminal, because the terminal can do a lot. And so...
Do more.
Not right now. We don't have time for everything. So after the terminal, of course, there are lots of other graphical things for kids. And so... Hey, Rowan, they're really people. I know you're funny and you're being a kid. It's fine. But please focus.
Fine.
There are two programs I know of that are free software that are often recommended for kids. One of them is Sugar. The other one is G-Compris. And honestly, I don't like either of them. Now, maybe I'm just a bit biased. They each do wonderful things. They're extremely well intended.
Anything can do a backflip, though.
But Sugar is kind of confusing, and it's this whole desktop environment. And even though it does have access to a terminal, I find the whole thing a bit confusing. Keep focusing, please. You want to say something about Sugar or G-Compris? You've played G-Compris. What do you think
of it? You know what I mean by a backflip? I mean an arrow.
An arrow?
An error.
An error. Oh, you know what? I forgot in all of this. I was going to mention the funny things that you did when we were learning this. Because Rowan thought the funniest thing to do would be to make a variable like a command. You say eSpeak equals 10 or something like that. And then you can do something like, you know, eSpeak.
Do time completion.
Okay, eSpeak. Thanks, Rowan. Then you could do something like eSpeak, you know.
Evaluate.
No, I guess we do it this way. Evaluate 5 plus eSpeak. Right?
15. Yes.
And it says 15. And so you use the command even that's like silly. Or you had the idea of writing this.
Not. Found command.
Even though it actually worked? So you had lots of funny ideas as you've been learning about
it
this.
It says echo command. What if you say echo command not found?
Oh yeah, then it would say echo command not found. And echo would echo that. So you see it because you've experienced these things. So what do you think of G-Compris?
It's pretty good. I like it better than you.
Okay. So maybe some of these kids' programs are fine, but they don't teach enough about software freedom directly. And as far as I'm concerned, the experience for the kid is just similar to having used proprietary software. It just happens to be free software. So I really like emphasizing software freedom. And I feel like this is related to the idea of kids being invited to help make dinner as opposed to being told to go play with plastic food in the other room while the parents make dinner. The idea of separating the kids from sort of what's real is a problem, and I want to have kids feel like they can do programming and understand computers, what's really going on, as well as experiencing the graphical stuff. So I'm not opposed to G-Compris or Sugar. I think they're fine. They have a place.
Do not start using a computer right now.
What?
Do not start using a computer right now.
Yeah, I'm not telling them to play. No.
If you're under the age of 3.
Oh, okay. So yes, we had a point of that younger kids should not use computers. We should still have a... This is all about health. And we want to have real-world stuff. So I don't want to...
If you're under the age of 4, do not use computers.
Maybe. I think that a good example is the abacus. So one of these things, I don't remember which one, had an abacus program. And you can use an abacus on the computer, but it's not like using real beads. And it would be better to get a real abacus because they're inexpensive and simple, or you can make your own, and then you're playing with real beads. And so I don't like the idea of using computers for things that you should do outside of computers. We want to spend more time on computers. We're going into a world in which people are spending too much time on computers, and we don't want to do more time than necessary. That's not the point. And we can talk about that. We can talk about limiting our computer time and how to be connected in the real world and be in person.
Yeah.
We miss... being over it, it would be great to be in person at Libre Planet with everyone.
We wish we would, but we don't want to take such a long plane ride just to go for such a short time.
I would like to do a train sometime. That would be another thing. We're on the other side
like
of the country, though.
Like a steam train?
Yeah, and you'd like that train program that does train memory stuff in G-Compris? Okay, so...
No, I like the train in Super Tux Cart.
Super Tux Cart. Well, that's your favorite actual free software game. You got super, super into that. You know way better than I do. Can you tell them about that?
Super Tux Cart is a free software game. It's a racing game. And it uses carts. Not like a cart like a wagon, but like a cart like a small car. There's different... characters. Say, for instance, there's the GNU, there's Tux, if you ever heard of those, and there's Geeky, if you've heard of
That's from Krita, the art program.
And Wilbur and Amanda.
I think Wilbur is from the other graphics program. That's from the new image manipulation program.
Yes, and there's just so many.
Yeah, and so we were talking about this is all pre-internet, although it does have an internet connection where you could play with other people. We haven't done that yet. But he actually started off with not feeling comfortable with the keys, and we like Extreme Tux Racer allows you to work with just left and right. And after you got good at that...
but you cannot go backwards because you're not allowed to...
Yeah, because you're going down the hill in that
cheat
one.
...cheat and try to get the fish by turning around.
So Super Tux Kart was the next step, because then you're learning how to do the different arrows, like accelerate at the same time as left and right, and writing other things like the other commands that you have to do. So he's super, super into Super Tux Kart, and then we used talking about GNU to talk about GNU software, and we looked up GNU philosophy, and...
We even have a puppy GNU. It's right there. Grab it.
Yep, yep. So this we can...
This is the baby GNU.
And we can talk about what that stands for and how it stands for software freedom.
Yes, it's the baby GNU.
All right. So one of the other ones is to, certainly once we're getting into media and things and the internet, we can talk about the same issues, like for books or music.
Or backflips.
We want things to be free for being creative in general. So... For example, Pepper and Carrot is a great free software comic, and their Pepper character is in Super Tux Kart now.
Yes, and I think he used Krita.
Yes, and he made that with Krita, which is free software. And so that's a great example. But even with all sorts of books, usually we go to the library, but when we buy or have got a gift of a book, we might even cross off a single word in a book where we think that word was confusing and write in our own thing, because we can fix things. We don't have to take the book just as is. And what would be really great is if we had a way to change that book and then share our changes with the publisher and with other people, so that we could all be adapting our culture and not just have it be fixed and we write our own version. That said, of course, one of the best books which we've got is this wonderful new one from Matthias Kirchner. We read about it yesterday here at Ada and Zangerman, and this is a free culture book where you can get all the files and change things, and people have updated the translations. Now, I want to do something a little more extreme, because in this book, the ending is the kids protest for free software, and the government comes and says, okay, and they listen, and then they make new laws, and they say, everybody will use free software from here on out, and it's a wonderful, happy ending. But I think we could use a different ending. And this is free culture, so maybe someday we'll do it. How about an ending in which the kids protest and get all this attention, and so Zangerman says, well, okay, you kids, you guys are such good programmers now, I'll hire you to work for me. And most of the kids go off to work for Zangerman, and then Ada, at the end, gets an offer from Zangerman saying, I'll give you $1 million if you come and work for me and work for my proprietary software company, and then you won't have to live by the dump and be poor anymore. And that's the end, and the kids get to think about what they would do in that situation. That's what my version would be. And that's how free culture works, and we can always think about how we could change things. So what I want to...
I wonder what my idea was. Do you remember?
Well, you can come up with new ones. I know that you talked about how it had poetic justice, and we talked about how some books have that, but the real world doesn't work that way. The happy thing or the good guys don't always win, right?
Don't talk about good guys and bad guys, Dad.
You're right. It's more complicated than that. We don't even have categories like good guys and bad guys. There's
good guys and bad guys are making the bad guys... win.
Did that story, that whole idea of having good and bad?
Yes, because the rich people made up the bad guys and good guys just so that they could get more money and stay rich.
Well,
they're really greedy.
The point is, we need to talk about how power and money and all these things work, and how technology is such a significant part of that in our lives today. And while we're teaching about computers, that's the context that we're using to understand computers in the world, not just to be interested in tech. Yeah?
Yes.
What else do you want to say? Anything else?
What you said.
Well, so I have now collected a huge list of stuff in the Git file, in the repo, for all the different things that we did and all the different tech commands that people need to install and how to set up a computer to do what I did with Rowan. And there's no way I've covered it all, but having given this presentation, it pushed me to put it all together. And I have a ton of tasks and a bunch of other things to review and games and programs and figuring out how to teach kids using art programs. There's a lot of free software stuff out there that's in lists of free software, and actually it's not good enough to actually use. Like Tux Paint is fun, but the window can't actually be resized and it's too small for modern high-resolution screens.
Like this?
So Krita is better, but it's a super complicated program. Maybe there could be a version. There should be a setup in Krita for beginners, for kids, to make it simpler. That would be helpful. Lots of stuff to do. Okay, so with that, we could answer some questions. And that's all we've got planned for our topics.
Rowan, Aaron, thank you very much. Now we start with questions here in the room first.
Okay.
I guess you can't see us, but. Oh, okay, great.
Hi, we hear you.
Thanks so much for the talk. And thank you for your patience, Rowan. I appreciate that. I have two boys that are 5 and 7, so I'm going through this exactly the same thing. I'm curious, I mean, you played a little bit with Bash scripting, but I'm wondering if you've done any work with other programming languages for kids, notably Scratch or Scratch Junior, which is only available as an app on a device.
So the short of it is, Rowan, please don't worry about that. They hear us fine. The short of it is, I have not done a lot of things with that. I explored them a little bit. I happen to be familiar a little bit with and like music blocks. But visual programming languages, to me, feel a little bit like, you know, you have these pieces and they work, but you can't change them. Like, you can't do something screwy, like change the name of one thing or edit the details. It's like you take a block, if you need to be a different block, you basically put it away and take out another block. And it reminds me of playgrounds where kids go and they do have fun, but there's sort of these fixed things. You can go up and down the slide or do these different things, but it's not like the open-ended playing in the forest and you're really dealing with the world and kind of figuring things out. So I'm not opposed to them. I just have this feeling like they feel like telling the kids, you do kid stuff now. You don't get to be in the real world. So that's my bias about it. But it's totally in the list of stuff that I have to review or that you could review and help add to the Git repo.
Very interesting. And thanks for the emphasis on the terminal. I mean, I've tried to do similar things and that just wasn't a focus area, and clearly it should be. It's changed the way that I think about it. So I appreciate that.
Questions?
No, really, there's more questions. You don't need to keep interrupting. Just wait.
So I guess related topic, as you mentioned, he's in school. Of course, schools are a delightful playground for proprietary everything. Just wondering how you're squaring that, and if you've made any efforts at, you know, trying to convert the school, or if it's more about just teaching the children the ethical principles so that they have the tools to deal with it themselves, or really just how you're dealing with that whole landscape.
Well, let's ask Rowan first. What do you think about the computers that you use at school?
Not the best, because I only use them for tests. Some of the tests are Dreambox, where I do adventures of learning instead of just learning, just looking at a test.
Well, what do you think about the being non-free software, though, at the school?
Pretty bad. I asked Senior Bach about it, but she had just ignored me.
Oh, but you wanted to say he told me originally that he wanted to tell the school to not use any, to only use free software. And so we're having to learn about, and this is a big topic, just the idea of how do you have influence and how to talk to people. So if he goes into class and says, these computers are bad, non-free software, don't use them, that will probably be at least interesting or unique, but I don't think that's going to get them to understand.
Dad, am I looking at the screen?
Unfortunately, Rowan, we don't see them. I wish we did, but they hear us and see us. And so we have to imagine that people are watching us. So I think that we are going to focus on how to do political advocacy. What I like about the Ada and Sangamon book, it talks about protesting. It talks about how to do outreach that way, but we have to deal with it in real life. And so, you know, even getting some busy, overworked school administrators or teachers to acknowledge that this is a topic, you know, that's complicated. But it is changing, of course. It's way, way easier today than, say, 5 years ago to get people to understand why, you know, Facebook is a problem or why proprietary everything and surveillance and whatever is an issue in the world. It's more widely understood.
I feel like somebody has not gotten a tune to ask any questions.
Okay, we'll see if there's more questions, Rowan. But yeah, no, I don't have a perfect answer for that. But I want to include it in the lesson plans. I think that's front and center. It includes how to do outreach. Just be patient.
I like to play the Super Tooks car and Super Tooks.
Somebody else likes Super Tux Cart too.
My name is Ian.
How many trophies have you won? You said how many trophies did you win?
I don't remember.
I might have won. I already went into major. It's Spanish for intermediate.
We'll come back to that.
My name is Tamara, but do you want to bring your child and the junior on ice? Because in September 6, 20...
Funny what?
We lost. I didn't hear that fully.
Just a second.
The G-Complex is for school. How in Subotox card it is important and popular?
Popular? I didn't know that.
You want to see if they could get it used in school or get introduce it to your friends? He has shown his friends Super Tux Cart, and sometimes some friends have come over and he said, hey, come check out Super Tux Cart.
Yeah.
We're still learning about that too, even
my
how
dad
to introduce
is not
it
a good
to friends.
Racer.
I'm not experienced like Rowan.
I'm really experienced. I just go like
he plays a Super Tux Cart a lot.
Yes, and I
even though I would like to get him to focus on doing the programming stuff, it's fine and it's fun enough.
Yes, I wish I could do a backflip.
One of the tiny little details I mentioned is the thing I like about WorkRave especially is that it gives a warning for the break time that doesn't take over the screen. And if you keep doing input, it will put the warning will go away for a little bit and you can have some number of reminders so he doesn't get interrupted right in the middle of doing something. And then he can look for a good time to take a break. And then it counts the break then.
I have one question for you guys. Have you gone in a race with the train in Super Tux Cart? I'm not telling you my side route, because if I tell it to you, I won't win.
Oh, well, we can get into eventually doing Super Tux Cart over the internet. That was the other thing. So we didn't get into this, and this isn't even drafted yet, but all of the questions, of course, about ad blocking and the internet and understanding the whole world of the internet and internet safety. And so that is a huge topic, which I also eventually, because I have to deal with the reality of the world we're in, will also have to include in the lesson plans and the materials that I'm putting together. And now there's some place to collaborate on it.
Thank you.
That has a software freedom focus.
Welcome. How many trophies did you win?
Again. Enough. I know. We're not sure we're talking to how many people we're talking to right now. So let's wait and see what else, if there's other people.
So we have one question from the IRC chat, which is basically, when did Rowan start using computers?
Pretty much at the age of 5.
No, I don't think so.
You're probably at 6.
You are 6 now, and you're going to be 7. You're going to be 7 in 3 weeks. And we got your first computer set up earlier this year, I think. So I could actually somehow look up the information, but I think he's had his own computer for about 4 months. Maybe it's been this year. It was definitely, he's in first grade, and it was during first grade that I finally got him his own first computer.
So I don't go to school. That's why.
Rowan, it's Sunday. Yes, you wouldn't be in school anyway, awesome. And we are going to go to school tomorrow. he's only had it for a few months. And we limit his daily limit to an hour or something a day, which he doesn't do every day.
Okay, and then, Rowan, did you play Mind Test?
We have not done Mind Test yet. It's in the list of games to check out.
Mind Test?
Mind Test.
I think I've heard of it. I'm pretty sure it's a Roblox game.
No, it is a blocks type, building type game.
That uses only straight lines.
That's right. It's something like that. We have not used it yet. It is in the list of games to check out.
Roblox only uses
Roblox is lines. The proprietary one with certain characters and stuff. Yeah. And Mind Test is the free software game that's sort of like that, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't have more to say about it right now. We will
get to that. Have you ever heard of a backflip?
You get into other things that are not computers otherwise. So, but we see all the influence of computers all around us. Yes. So anyway, this entire thing, including the presentation, does not go the way it would go if I planned it all on myself. And that's how it is with kids. And so we appreciate the whole experience together. Thank you for being my test subject in developing all of these things and helping other people and other kids to learn about software freedom, Rowan.
You're welcome.
Okay, yeah, thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much, you too.
Okay, I'll give you one more time, just a last little thing. I'll show the, title card. Again, it's codeberg.org/flow-conscience/flowkids.
Put it on your ear.
And that's where you can connect with the stuff that we're working on. And I already have a lot of stuff up, but I have a lot of little task notes of things not done yet and things that could use help.
Okay, then thank you too. Okay, Rowan has to go, I see.
Yep, he's done. That's about as much time as he can manage for now.
Okay, thank you again very much. And that closes.
Okay.
Thank you.